I gather on the day of the bombing, you were actually on a sergeant's course.
When you get promoted to sergeant, you do a certain amount of time actually gaining experience on the ground. And then you did a 5-week course at headquarters teaching leadership skills and management skills. That would vary between management theory and practical exercises. And they were constantly turning us out for scenarios. So you might get a firearms incident and you would be turned out from your lessons to deal with it. Well, on this particular morning, we were having a management day, which meant that we were in civilian clothes. One of the trainers came in and there was much whispering, and all we could make out was the wheels come off. So the natural thought for all of us was, oh God, it's another exercise. So the course instructor said, right, everybody back to the dormitory and get your uniforms on, which we promptly did, and trotted over to the dorm block, got the uniforms on, and somebody had put on their radio. And suddenly this voice lilts through the dorm block, Jesus Christ, it's for real. Which, as you can imagine, put a spring in everybody's step. There wasn't any sauntering about then. So we all got into uniform, and we were taken down to the scene by a fire brigade minibus, of all things, because there were insufficient minibuses within the force to carry us. There was 15 on the course for us, but there were other courses in the training school, probationary constable courses and CID courses. And they, well, the probationary constables were turned out as well, but they came along later.
Did you have any briefing as you were going along as to what was happening and what you should expect?
Well, no, because the two instructors made their own way down in their own cars. We went down with the fire brigade, and of course the fire brigade officer, all he could tell us was that there'd been a bomb and it was suspected that it was the IRA. We went down on blue lights and two-tone horns, sirens, all the way down. And I have to say, we did make good progress. We arrived coming in down the Dover Road and turned left into Canada Road. So we entered through the main gates, and that was the RV point for all of the rescue services. Now, the Marines and the fire brigade were already engaged in rescue attempts. Now, for us, the primary aim of a police officer is protection of life, but at the same time, we've got a secondary concern about actually trying to preserve evidence so we can catch the offenders. And regretfully, Marines and the fire brigade aren't actually that geared up, and quite rightly so, because they've got colleagues that were down underneath all this rubble and mess. Once we'd been briefed, our initial role as the sergeants, we were given the job of securing the bomb area. And that was our role, basically, throughout the day, was to maintain the security of that site. Once the casualties had been recovered, then our primary concern was obviously security of evidence. But initially, it was to secure the site and facilitate the rescue attempts.
On arrival, when you say you received a briefing, what were you in fact told?
Basically, we knew it was a bomb, or it was suspected it was a bomb. They couldn't prove it until some time afterwards. But the suspect was that it was a bomb. And I think all of us knew in our heart of hearts that it was an IRA attack. Unknown number of casualties, and initial attempts had been made. And our job was to keep the ghouls back, the press, because these things, the press, they've got to get the picture. And they will do whatever they can to get a picture. They were going into the houses behind the actual site with massive great long lenses trying to take the pictures of what was going on. We had to impose an air exclusion zone because there were helicopters flying overhead that were making the initial communication search efforts absolutely impossible. So they had to actually apply an air exclusion zone to the area.
As you arrived and got your briefing, were you aware that there were people who had died?
We weren't aware of actual death at that stage, so it became pretty apparent because the area that we were securing, there was it almost looked like a bike shed, and that was being used as the initial mortuary area.
How do the police impose a cordon? Is that one of those plastic blue and white things you put round?
No, on this occasion it was rather large police officers like myself, and if anybody came near, you keep a log of who enters the site and who exits the site, and they've all got to come out through one area. And if anybody tries to exit other than through that one point, they're not getting through.
And were there senior police officers on the site at this stage?
Some would say there were probably too many. And I have to say now, with experience and training, that wouldn't have happened now.
And how long would a shift be for you, sort of standing in the cordon?
We stayed there. We got back to our home base at 7 o'clock that night. There's two stages in an incident like that. But the initial instant reaction where you're trying to save life. And then I suppose there becomes a realisation that you're unlikely to be able to save any more life. But that notwithstanding, you still want to get your comrades and that out of the situation. And then it becomes much quieter. But I think in truth, because of the discipline of the services, particularly the Marines, there is always going to be that person that's in charge who will impose, this is what we're going to do. All terrorist incidents are dealt with by the Metropolitan Police Counter-Terrorist Unit, SO14. And we had to wait for them to turn up. They turned up around about 12 o'clock because they know that there's going to be a big effort for saving life. And so they will get in the way. But having said that, once they had the scene, the first thing they started to do, they weren't wandering around, everything went into dustbins. Every piece of dirt and what have you that they could get was shoveled into dustbins, because that would have been sieved, you know, to find the evidence of the bomb. When something explodes, it doesn't disappear. It may be spread over a wider area, and that's what happens in an explosion. But a timer will be still there, albeit it's in pieces. And so they collect all of the small bits and sieve it so that they can get it all together for the forensic science laboratory